It's Tuesday night, Jaguars fans. The Jack Del Rio show is on the air.
Boy, I don't know. I think you got to punt it here.
He's not going to. They don't call him Gambling Jack for nothing. Maurice is over the right side. He's got it.
Wow. Talk about a sigh of relief. I mean, holy cow, you're on the 36-and-a-half.
Yes.
Going for it on fourth down. Wow.
That nickname, Gambling Jack.
That's deserved.
The Jack Del Rio show on the Jacksonville Jaguars radio network is brought to you by Sonny's Real Pit Barbecue, Wells Fargo, Ticket Exchange, and by Everbank. Now, to get things started, here's the voice of the Jaguars.
The voice.
Brian Sexton.
Good evening and welcome to the Jack Del Rio Show. Tuesday night, October the 18th, Jaguars getting ready for a big game against the Baltimore Ravens. Monday Night Football returns for the first of two Monday Night games in Jacksonville this season. The Ravens Monday night come in, and we'll talk a lot about the Baltimore Ravens. It's been a gauntlet now, last 3 weeks. Number one, number two, and this the number three defense in the NFL. So we'll talk with the head coach about the challenge there, and we'll take your calls and comments as well. 355-NFL1, 800-355-6351. And, of course, you can tweet at Jags Voice, and we will make sure and we get all of those for you. This is a quick reminder, folks, that you can text BBQ to 72239. That's BBQ 72239. And that'll enter you for a chance to win the Sonny's Game Ball Delivery Contest. You can hand the game ball to the ref at the start of the next Jaguars home game. A pleasure to welcome in the head coach, Jack Del Rio, here this evening. And, you know, Coach, you just keep powering through. That's really all you can do. No one wants to hear anything different than that. And I know that we've talked about it through the years. This is a tough stretch for you. I mean, this is it. Just when the football team is coming close, like you did in the second half last week, that's the word that your players use in the locker room. That's tough. How was practice today?
Today was good.
Yeah?
Today was good. It's been good. Guys are working hard. You know, it's close only works in...
No, I know. Horseshoes
and hand grenades.
Yeah.
Not much
there
else.
There may be another thing here or there, but...
Not much else. But, right. You know, look, the bottom line is you have to have the courage to go back and do the right things again and again and again. And it doesn't guarantee that it's going to go the way you want, but, you know, I know when you let go of the rope and don't do the right things, then I know what that's going to look like.
Right.
And so, you know, we've been close, we just need to find a way to make a play, get a spark, and get some positive momentum going.
How do you overcome the assault of negativity, the constant barrage of cut this player, fire that coach, do this, do that? I mean, when a team and its fans, 1-5, frustration, how do you keep that from being something that weighs on the players and their minds? And you know, I mean, how do you get rid of all that?
Well, it's just chatter. And, you know, you can't just the same as if it were you're 5-1 and everybody's telling you how great you are.
Right.
You know, you can't listen to that either. So it's you know, whether it's up or whether it's down, whether somebody is congratulating you too much, praising you too much, or ripping you, you can't undo criticism or undo praise. You cannot get wrapped up in it. You've got to continue to do the right things, and that's what we're, you know, that's what we're about right now. That's what we are doing right now, and that's given us a chance. That's why we are close, and why we feel like we're closer than a lot of people think. And it's just a matter of putting it together and making some plays.
You know, I think if you go back and you look at that game, and we've been talking about it the last day or two. You're down 14-0, and Rashard Mendenhall rips off the run, and they get the penalty on top, and they get first and goal at the 2. You hold them to a field goal. And then, you know, next series, they hit the 48-yard pass to Mike Wallace, but you hold them, and you could feel the tide starting to swing there. They missed the field goal. They wouldn't score again the rest of the way. And so the second half, you come out, and the defense holds Ben Roethlisberger down. You know, what was he, 1-for-5 at one point in the second half?
One for 9, 10.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, ineffective in that sense. Stop the run. Sacks. I mean, John Chick had a great move on Starks, and mm-hmm. Tyson got his sack. And so was the turning point the fact that you held him to a field goal and held them to a missed field goal on those long plays?
No, the turning point was we started making the plays that we weren't making to start the game. I mean, defensively, you know, we just tightened up. It's not like all of a sudden Coach Tucker came in with the revamp plan, started, you know, doing 10 different things that we hadn't done. We just did them better, you know. And so you know, Mendenhall rips off a run. We miss fit. We miss leverage and tackle. I've talked to you about those things in the past. You know, we have been – when you leverage and tackle in the run game, you don't have those kind of runs rip out on you. And it gets away from you one time.
Right.
Shows its ugly head one time, and then you get a guy like that with that kind of speed, and boom, he's out the gate.
Well, you know, he had the 8-yard run for the touchdown, and he had that. But, just take away that run, and I know you can't from the totals.
No,
you can't. But on the other 22 carries, he only had 78 yards. I guess what I'm saying is you talk about fit and one mistake costing you big. He had a huge day because of one mistake.
Well, yeah, they ran the ball better than we wanted them to early in the game for sure. And but that's what it's about. That's what the game's about, you know. That's why you play. And I know they didn't like the way Maurice ran on them.
Yeah.
You know, Maurice ran the ball again. I mean,
he's
had a heck of a start to this season. I mean, you know, first six ball games, he's really turned in a heck of a performance, and really is running hard and running well. And really offensively, that's the one thing that we've been able to do is run the ball effectively with Maurice.
The Jaguars haven't announced yet that Mike Sims Walker is returning. He has announced via Twitter, and it's all over the web. Just a quick thought, you know, is he a guy who can come back in, if that's the case, and plug in a short week and help you? You can't say anything?
No, I'm sorry.
Oh, okay.
It was clearing my throat. Excuse me.
Because he's been here. He was your third leading receiver.
It had nothing to do with the question.
No, I
took a sip of that.
Diet Pepsi.
That wild cherry
Diet
Pepsi.
Is that your fourth today or your fifth?
No, it's my second.
Sure?
Yeah.
You always have one of those in your hand, by the way.
It's not true.
Okay.
Anyhow, back to the question.
The question is, can he come in and help you on a short week?
Yeah, he can help us. Sure. Mike knows the system. You know, look, we elected not to pursue him in terms of free agent dollars and things that he was looking for. Allowed him to go out there and wished him the best. I mean, he didn't part on bad terms. You know, he went out there. He was a drafted Jaguar and played well while he was here for us. And he has an opportunity to come back and kind of come home where he started his career and fit back in. I mean, he's a guy that knows our system, that has sure hands, that you know, understands how to sit down and be friendly for a quarterback in zone. And he's got good size, you know, when he's man-to-man. And so, yeah, he can fit in and play a role and earn his spot, you know, in terms of how much, you know, we end up utilizing him or not. But glad to have him back, you know. And looks like they agreed to terms. I don't know that it's been officially done.
Not officially.
I don't think he's been in for the physical and all the processing that goes in. But it appears that he is, in fact, returning. And we'll welcome him back.
Right. Don't want to put too much pressure on a guy. He only caught 11 balls in St. Louis. But you're looking for a spark on offense, aren't you? I mean, just something that
Well, we had a couple guys go down. We had you know, Zach Miller's shoulder, yeah. Austin Lane's shoulder, and Rod Isaac's hamstring are all, you know, IR situations. Yeah. So, you know, we had a couple spots. We end up you know, there's a tight end that I'm sure we'll announce.
Martin Rucker.
And Mike. And then we brought Heath up, you know, from the practice squad, a young corner to take Rod Isaac's place. And, you know, when you have injuries, you have opportunities to add somebody, and somebody like Mike is sitting there because St. Louis just made the move that they made with Denver, and so all of a sudden we have an opportunity to bring a guy back, and it works for us.
See what happens. Absolutely. We need a break. We'll come back. More with the head coach on the Jack Del Rio Show on the Jaguars Radio Network. Welcome back to the Jack Del Rio Show. Brian Sexton with the head coach, Joe Fortunato alongside, and guests enjoying Seabest Seafood. You should too. It's Monday night, there will be plenty of it in the Pepsi Plaza. Right, Patrick? It's worth sampling. All right, we'll leave it at that. 355-NFL, 1-800-355-6351. If you've got a thought for the head coach, Baltimore Ravens come in here on Monday night. Big stage, bright lights. And a team that you have a long history with. Should be fun, right?
Yeah. It's best defense in the league right now.
Is it? Here's what I see.
Best one I've seen on tape.
When you just look at them up front and you see Haloti Ngata at 350 pounds at one defensive end.
Arguably the best player in the league.
Is he really?
Arguably.
Best defensive player or best player?
Well,
wow.
Depends on
what you're asking.
Depends on what you're looking for, but let me just tell you something.
Okay.
He's one of the finest football players you'll see. The guy's a really good football player.
And plays with great effort, great emotion, too.
Yes.
And you got Terrence Cody now on the nose, who is the exact same size, 6'4", 350. And he's playing the nose. Corey Redding's a good football player, has been for a number of years over on the other end. And then it's the guys you mix around, Suggs and Ray Lewis and, Jared Johnson. And then, of course, Ed Reed. So, I mean, this is a big, strong, fast, physical defense that plays a system. Is it essentially the same system that's been there all these years? I know you tweak it with different coordinators who come and go. But as long as Ray Lewis is there, I'm going to figure that defense is based on him.
Well, there's some similarities. I mean, you know, Ray's been doing things there at a high level for a long time. And he's a student of the game, and he spends a lot of time, investing a lot of time in that defense and the preparation. And coaches that come and go, I mean, I know they lean on Ray for thoughts that he has, and,
sure.
And certainly they have their own wrinkles. But
16 seasons at middle linebacker.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable.
And 12 tackles last week. What, do you have a sack and a strip? And a?
He's found the fountain of youth. I'm going to talk to him when he comes.
Well, yeah, I think it helps when you have 350 in front of you.
I'm not talking about people around. I'm talking about him. I mean, he's found the fountain of youth. I mean, he looks great. It's just shocking to see a guy sustain that level of play for the number of years that he has. It's really been incredible.
355-NFL-1, 800-355-6351, if you'd like to join us on the program. Michael's in Atlantic Beach. Michael, what's going on tonight? All right, I guess Michael has dropped off.
We lost Michael.
Yeah. You can join us, 355-NFL-1. Ed Reed is the other guy that, when you talk about great players, obviously Ray Lewis has been for a long time. Reed is right there with him. And I know he's a guy that freelances from time to time because he watches so much tape and is so smart. Loggeman will say, watch. He will get to the spot and make the pick. How do you play against a safety like that?
Carefully.
Yeah, very, huh?
No, he's very instinctive, spends time preparing, understands, how people want to attack you. You know, a guy that played a couple years ago for the Saints, Darren Sharper, late in his career, was doing some of that from a mental standpoint, putting himself in position and taking advantage of, looks he'd seen on tape and tendencies and formations and, excuse me, and, what you see with Ed Reed is Ed does that but has more athleticism. I mean, Ed still has the ability to go back and return a punt. I mean, he's a open field threat. And so you put a guy like that in the middle of the field with that kind of brain power, that kind of instinct, and then let him take off and go and make plays like he does. He's somebody you have to account for and make sure you've got an eye on, understand where he is. And, Troy was like that. Look at what Troy did last week.
Yeah, that play on 3rd-and-1.
There are two plays in that game that just like,
wow,
that's
the
good.
One where
that's a good football.
He timed timed his blitz and Blaine was throwing the ball on the flat to Mike Thomas.
Yeah, to the uncovered receiver.
Yeah.
They had an issue.
Yeah.
I mean, the Steelers had an issue. They weren't getting lined up. Blaine was going to snap it out there to the wideout who was uncovered, which was heads up on his part. Troy recognizes it and goes and dives over the center and disrupts the play. It's a save for them.
Yeah.
In fact, that was, 2nd-and-4, led to 3rd-and-4.
Yeah.
We went backwards.
Changed
and then
it.
Yeah, so the whole deal there kind of spiraled. Troy Polamalu made a hell of a play.
Right.
So, and then you look at that 3rd-and-1 where, we're moving, got 3rd-and-1, got a play up where he is accounted for, but he just knifes underneath the blocker and makes a tackle on the backfield and stops Maurice. Knocks himself out and out of the game, but did make the play.
355-NFL, 1-800-355-6351. Let's take this break. We'll come back, take some calls for you here on the Jack Del Rio Show on Jaguars Radio. Welcome back to the Jack Del Rio Show here on the Jaguars Radio Network. And when you're looking for department store style at discount prices, look no further than your neighborhood Stein Mart. 6 Jacksonville location, Stein Mart. More fashion and less price. Plenty of phone callers on the line. Let's grab Tommy downtown as our first call of the night. Tommy, welcome to the show.
Yes. Hello?
Tommy, how you doing there? What's on your mind tonight?
I just wanted to talk about MJD a little bit.
Okay,
Tommy. I noticed, like, every time I look at the game stats, I see MJD only gets, like, 96 yards or so. And I kind of think that you guys should go ahead and, like, let him run for the 4 more yards and get 100 yards, because that's hurting his 1,000-yard season and his Pro Bowl chances. That's all I wanted to say.
Okay. All right. Well, appreciate you calling in tonight, getting things
must
kicked
off. Must
be
a fantasy owner.
Well, he must get bonuses for the 100.
Exactly.
No, I think, he's on pace right now for a career year in terms of the start he's had into the season. He's run the ball very hard, tough, determined. He's played great football for us, really off to a super start. And, I mean, the one thing that has been consistent with our football team this year to start this season has been Maurice. I mean, he's been really, really strong for us. And certainly, 22 carries for 96 yards in that ball game, and a couple other passes that he was a part of. So he's definitely very involved in our plan.
Hey, how did Cameron Bradfield play? The young guy that you had to put in the starting lineup, the kid from Grand Valley State. Jeff Loggeman showed on All Access last night some plays in the running game where he played pretty well.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, you're talking about a guy who, undrafted, comes in and has to line up against the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Right. Nice first assignment.
Did he? How'd he do?
He did well. Okay. It wasn't perfect.
No.
I mean, he had a little breakdown on the last 2-minute drive. They allowed the sack, and on the very next play they ran the same stunt and he shut it down the way he's supposed to, the first time. But he's undrafted rookie free agent, made our football team, has a bright future, thrust into action because of the situation with Eben and
Eugene
Monroe being down, and and so boom, he's called upon, steps in, and it wasn't too big for him. I mean, I thought he did a nice job handling himself. He didn't have a bunch of false start penalties and all this kind of thing. I mean, he kept his composure, right, and knew who to block. And
you didn't notice him over the course of the game, which
is a good thing.
Yeah, exactly.
You don't want a lineman to be noticed, unless he's downfield pancaking somebody.
That's right. Or like, totally shutting down, the best pass rusher the other team had. That was left for Greg Jones.
Greg had a pretty good physical game, yes.
Yeah, to say the least. That's some great stuff. 355-NFL, 1-800-355-6351. Tony is at the airport. He's up next. Tony, welcome to the show.
Yeah, good evening, gentlemen.
Hey, Tony.
Hey, Coach, I wanted to ask you, between those Jones brothers in the backfield, I know Maurice Jones drew a pretty strong guy. I was thinking if you let him hit, block a few people and then throw him the ball, throw the other back the ball, I think we'll get a lot of offense out of our offense if you, let them play a little defense and let them play the offense at the end. I think we could win. I know we need some wins, and we need to get them guys involved in more plays.
All right, I hear you. I appreciate the call tonight. Must be talking about getting the ball to Greg Jones.
And, yes. You tried the other day.
Greg will touch it from time to time. As a receiver and occasionally as a runner. And one thing about Greg now, he is a 100% man.
Yeah.
Went in there and had some physical confrontations against
Lamar Williams.
A physical defense that they pride themselves on being physical. And Greg backs down from nobody and held his own in all those confrontations.
He's a hammer. He's a great big sledgehammer.
Yeah, he is.
And why wouldn't you want the ball in 32's hands more often?
More often there, but Greg does good things when he gets the ball in his hands. If you remember back prior to him suffering a couple injuries,
I remember he had a big game up there in Pittsburgh in 2005.
He did.
You didn't have Fred that day,
right?
And I think he had 87 yards and 2 touchdowns in that ball game. So.
Very physical, yeah. So anyway, good call. Appreciate the call there, Tony, and getting the running backs. Continuing to get the running backs involved is something you can count on.
355-NFL, 1-800-355-6351. How much longer do you suppose it'll be before you have Montel Owens back on the field?
Well, I hope it's this week.
Okay.
We've got a chance this week for Montel to return, for Kasim Osgood to return, for Derek Cox to return, for Evan Britton to return, for Eugene Monroe to return. Campman's back. So you know, we got a chance to get, you know, four, five, six guys back that have been out. And
well, the reason I asked
Session
you.
Back. And, yeah. and so what happens now, Will Middleton and Russell Allen and some of these guys go to special teams.
So you get Derek Cox back then, perhaps, too.
Looks like it.
Great.
Looks
well, like and the reason I bring it up is you brought Nick Harris in last week after all the hullabaloo over Matt Turk, and he had a 40.4 net, which is pretty good considering he didn't have all of those guys that you just named running down the punts for him.
No, we'll take that net. I mean, he came in, did his job, did a nice job for us. That part, I mean, if you look at the game, we did two things very well that allowed us to be in that game at the end. We played good on special teams. It wasn't a dominant performance, but we held our own against a good special teams unit.
Sure. Antonio Brown was not a factor.
Because Nick did his job. Did a nice job with directional punting, good hang time, good direction. All right. And then the other thing we did, we didn't turn the ball over. So when you don't turn it over, you play good field position, that's going to give you a chance for playing good defense to stay in the game. Now you got to make a few plays to win it.
Right. Phone lines are starting to fill up, folks. You can join us. 355-NFL, 1-800-355-6351. You know, nobody helps you get ready for game day in Jacksonville better than Gate. Snacks, food, drinks, and more. Stop by Gate today. We'll take this break, come back with a head coach and a full load of phone calls on the Jack Del Rio Show. And you're listening on the Jaguars Radio Network. Rolling right along here, we got plenty of phone calls for the coach, so let's go right to them, and let's start with Chris in Merritt Island. Hello, Chris. Welcome to the show.
Hey, good afternoon, guys. Good afternoon, Coach. How you doing, man?
Hey, Chris. Doing well tonight. How are you?
Well, I was really impressed about the game overall, especially the second half. The way that Roethlisberger started off like a house of fire, and then the second half, you held them to no points. That was really a good job on your defense.
Appreciate that. Thank you. And, what's on your mind tonight?
Well, I'm just curious about the question about our old quarterback. He's going to have back surgery. Any comment to that? And was he hurt when he was here last year? Did he have back problems?
No. We pretty much talked about that. I think Gene handled that the best way he could and we can. He was processed. He went out of here healthy. I'm not sure exactly what he's experienced since he's been out, but I don't know how I can really comment a whole lot on that. We made a decision to move on from all the things that were talked about before, and that's kind of like water under the bridge at this point. And you know, right now we've got a young player in Blaine Gabbert that is getting some great experience for us and making some progress, and we're so close to connecting on a few plays that really changed the way he's being viewed. I know in our locker room we appreciate the talent that he has and the work ethic that he has, the way he's approaching the game, and he's hungry for bigger and better things, and as a football team, so are we. So, you know, our mindset right now is kind of, you know, building around him and getting and building ourselves, you know, strong and getting ready for the Ravens coming in on Monday night and looking forward to a big game there. But thanks for calling tonight.
Appreciate the phone call. We move right along. Let's grab Tim, who joins us from the north side next. Tim, welcome to the program.
Hey, Brian. How you doing, Coach?
Good. How you doing?
I'm all right. Talking about Blaine, I'm seeing a lot of progress in him. I mean, he really impressed me just scoring against the Steelers, you know what I'm saying? And the way he basically, him and the defense controlled that, him, the offense and defense really went to work on the second half and held him. That was really something. My question, though, is a lot of people laugh me at this. It is possible for us to win the division championship because we're 1-0 on division. And still be possibly, you know, in line to go to the Super Bowl. I mean, we're not that bad off when you think about it. What do you think?
Well, you know, it's something that you're exactly right. It's the kind of thing that would get laughed at because we just haven't won in a while. And so, you know, that's going to cause people to kind of snicker when you have that kind of thought in your head. But you know, listen, you know, for us, our goals have not changed as a football team. They're all right there in front of us. We have to get busy, and we have to get going in a positive direction now. And we've got some, you know, unbelievable challenges in front of us, starting with the Ravens on Monday night. It's a heck of a football team coming in. So, you know, that's where our focus has to be. But, you know, we are 1-0 in our division. We play five division games. We play everybody that's in front of us again, twice in terms of Houston, and they're two games in front of us.
I was just about to say, two games with 10 games left to play.
There's all kinds of
differences. You got to win a game so you can be in the conversation.
You just have to win, and so we understand that. And really, for us right now, we just need to play good football. We've been close. Close doesn't get it, and we need to close the deal and win a couple games, and then we can have those kind of conversations. But even when we do, it's just so that maybe somebody else can recognize that that is a fact. But for us, it's just about playing good football. It's about staying together, sticking to the process, continuing to work on being better, and each man locking into what he has to do for us, and know your role and embrace that role and be good at your role.
How's your week of preparation with the extra day? What's different from a Monday night game for you guys?
Well, what we did, we took an extra day yesterday to heal. And then today we had a combination. We actually had basically today the lift and condition component and the meet and put the game behind us component and an extra practice.
Okay.
So we went out and worked a little bit on our timing. So we gained an extra day is what it amounts to.
So you'll be in the rest of the week. Do you guys come in tomorrow, guys?
No, we'll have a normal game week.
Oh, okay. So
now today was like a Monday and an extra practice
gotcha.
Day.
All right. So tomorrow is essentially Tuesday in your week.
Correct.
That's how you structure
and then,
it.
Correct. Okay. So, you know, as a team with, you know, 20 guys last week on the injury report, we had some healing to do, still do. We are getting guys back. Like I said, we have, you know, 4, 5, 6 guys that will return off the inactive list. A couple went on to IR. And so
they got another day to rehab.
That's right. So as a football team, we're actually, you know, we lost a couple guys for the year. But we're actually getting healthier.
All right. We appreciate the phone call, Tim. We take this break and return with more with the head coach of the Jaguars, Jack Del Rio, on Jaguars Radio. NFL 1-800-355-6351. Let's grab Michael, who joins us now from Atlantic Beach. Hello, Michael. Welcome to the show. Michael, are you there?
I am here.
All right. You're on with the head coach.
Hey, Michael, how are you doing tonight?
Oh, thank you very much.
Okay.
I have three questions for you, actually. One is first about Sims Walker coming back to the Jaguars.
Okay.
Was there a – he left for a particular reason, I assume, to try to attempt to further his career. So do you, in your opinion, think it's a – good idea for him to come back to the team? I mean, I know he knows the team, the fans like him, but couldn't the Jaguars look at some other receivers for the team?
Yeah, no, at this particular point, you know, he took his leap into free agency and had that experience. I would say it's similar to like a
Ernest Wolford?
Yeah, Ernest Wolford. Okay, where, you know, he took a foray into the free agent market, you know, got paid a little bit, maybe not as much as he wanted to, but, you know, struck a deal with somebody else and it didn't work out the way he thought. He gets a chance to come back to the team that drafted him. He knows the offense.
He gets a chance to prove himself, too.
Come back in, make some plays, you know, help us win, you know, play a role. And so, yeah, from that standpoint, I think it's a good fit for him, good opportunity for us. To acquire a veteran player at the position, a position that we have not been, you know, real strong in to start the year, and you know, hopefully we'll begin to click and make a few more plays in the pass game, and we think Mike can help that.
All right, Michael, we appreciate the phone call. 355-NFL-1. Harris joins us from Mandarin. Hello, Harris. Welcome to the program.
Hey guys, how's it going?
Good.
Hey, Harris.
All right. I'd like to just comment and say I love how we came out with the defensive adjustments coming into the second half in the Pittsburgh game. And I'd like to comment on, you know, I mean, there's a lot of negativity out there, but to be honest, we're only a couple of plays away a game from having a completely different outcome this whole season. So, I mean, I don't see this negativity. Yeah, I mean, this the NFL is all about the wins and losses, and that's true, you know. But just the passing the eye test, I mean, we have some problems here or there, but that's not the whole brunt of the problem or anything. So I just like to, you know, comment and say that, you know, the adjustments we made and everything, we hit a rough patch with just injuries and playing the top-ranked defenses back-to-back, and, you know, that's a challenge, and there are no easy games in the NFL. So I just like to say, you know, I love seeing smash mouth, in your face, hard hitting game, and that's what this Baltimore Ravens game is going to be like. So I just like to take that off the air, and definitely going to enjoy the game.
Okay, appreciate it. No question about it. And look, if you're really paying attention, there's no way you can't see some of the things you're talking about. You know, we're in Carolina, a couple a soggy game, a couple plays. Look, easily could have and probably should have won that game. Here at Cincinnati with the lead, 4-minute drill, take the offense, take the ball down, have a couple punts go a little differently, easily could have been a different outcome. I think everybody can see that. And then this last weekend, the same thing. So, look, there's no question, okay? But it's a bottom-line business. And, you know, from that standpoint, we are sitting here and saying, okay, we've got to do better. And it's not acceptable. But we're not going to pretend that all those things don't exist. You know, there are some positive things going on. You can't forget about it. You've got to recognize the things you've got to do better and work hard at it. And that's exactly how we're approaching it.
Appreciate the phone call, Harris. 355-NFL, 1-800-355-6351. Phones are starting to light up. Let's grab one more call from Atlantic Beach. And John is out there with a thought on Zach Miller. John, we welcome you to the show.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. Thank you, Coach. Quick question about, I read today in the Times Union that Zach Miller's on injured reserve.
Yes.
And the question is, can you play the rest of the year with just two tight ends, or any chance of bringing back perhaps tight end from the Miami Dolphins, Joey Haynes?
Okay. There would be a chance. I think Joey's still out there. We actually brought a young, I think it's announced now.
I think it's out there, Mike Rucker.
Martin Rucker from Dallas's practice squad. He was drafted a few years back.
Bengals.
For
Missouri.
Out of Missouri. Yeah. Was it the Bengals or the Browns?
It may have been the Browns.
Yeah, one or the other. I think it was the Browns. But anyhow, we have acquired a third tight end, and we still have a tight end right now on our practice squad, Skyler Ort. So, you know, we do actually have a couple tight ends, but yeah, it was a tough deal for Zach. You know, he's got some talent. He's got some run and catch ability, and we have, you know, a lot of plans to utilize that kind of guy in our offense. And unfortunately, he's been bit by the injury bug and hasn't been healthy. And it's just a shame for him and for us.
355-NFL-1. We take this break as the phone lines explode. More to come with Coach Jack Del Rio after this. And you're listening on the Jaguars Radio Network. Welcome back to the Jack Del Rio Show. About 10 minutes left in the show here. Let's try and grab a couple of calls. Let's go with Bill, who joins us from Fleming Island. Bill, we welcome you to the show. Good evening.
Hey, how are you, Coach?
Hey, good, Bill. How are you tonight?
Not too bad. Question for you. I'm an original season ticket holder, and I've never missed a single game. Been to the games out of town and in other spots. And I don't know, I can't remember when I've ever been more pessimistic about the remaining schedule that we have. So if you would take a moment and tell me, and I guess the rest of all of us, where you see the remaining victories, because I know that you are holding fast to your prediction that we will win the division. Let me kind of give me an idea where you expect those victories to come from.
Okay, well, let me just tell you something. It's not a prediction. It's basically what we have set out as a goal. And what we're fighting for. So I'm not in the prediction business, and I also can't try and talk you into believing that we can win. If you've been a fan and you've been in it and you have skin in this thing, and then you understand that you don't always get what you want. You understand the team is fighting its tail off for you. There's no question about the amount of fight and the amount of effort and the amount of work that's going into to us trying to put out a good product. And, you know, I can't help you. I can't convince you on the phone or on the radio to see that. If you see it, hopefully you appreciate it. And you understand how close we are. And if you don't. And I wish you did. But I can assure you it's there. The commitment level is very strong. Every game we play on the schedule is winnable. With execution and taking advantage of opportunities that we're given. And so for us, starting with a very tough challenge this week against the Ravens on Monday night, should be an exciting game. It'll be hard-hitting. They're very physical. We like to think we are as well. Should be some good physical play in the game. A lot of stars on the field from both sides, and it should be a heck of a game. So hopefully you'll make it.
355-NFL-1. Bill, we appreciate your call, and we grab Tony, who joins us from the South Side. Tony, welcome to the show. Good evening.
Hi, Coach. Could you consider something from the old days? We had we've got a pot roast. The Chicago Bears had a refrigerator. How about a couple of plays for pot roast on short yardage out of the backfield?
Yeah, that's not a bad thought, you know.
Really?
The fridge he's running quick. In there. Yeah, pot roast. I mean, he tells me all the time he's a former whiteout.
That blows my mind.
Now, is Tony still with us? Tony, you still on there?
Yes.
Were you aware that that pot roast was a whiteout in high school?
I heard that mentioned before, yes.
Yeah, so he actually does have hands. He can run. You know, that's not a bad thought, Tony. Now, am I going to have to give you a finder's fee if we end up using pot roast on on Sunday?
Just a shout-out.
I'll give you a shout-out, all right,
we'll remember
Tony,
so. That Tony said it first right here on these airwaves.
All right, we'll keep that in mind, but, you know, that is not a bad thought. We do consider things like that, and, you know, last time we probably did anything like that was with Big Hen, I think, at tight end. And,
yeah.
He ran a route, went out in the back of the end zone, fell down, sprained his ankle. I think that was the end of that one.
Yeah,
so.
I imagine so.
We'll keep that in mind, and definitely you could see, you know, pot roast coming at him.
Here you go. 355-NFL-1. We'll take this final break and come back. More with the head coach on Jaguars Radio. All right, welcome back to the finale of the Jack Del Rio Show. Coach is headed back across the hallway. On Tuesday evenings, he and I go over and we tape the film room segment of his television show. And I don't know whether you've seen that or not, but it is excellent television. We sit in there and we watch it on his screen, you know, with his clicker, and he goes through the entire tape, you know, 6, 8, 10 plays, and explains what you're seeing. And so he's headed over to get ready for that since we only have about a minute here left in the show. Want to thank the folks at Seabest for bringing by all the great food, the broiled grouper and the coconut shrimp. And look, if you haven't made the time, and you hear us talk about Seabest Seafood all the time, it's available Winn-Dixie, I believe, Walmart, in the frozen food section of your favorite grocer. They are here in the South End Zone for every home game. You may smell it. You may need to walk all the way across from the furthest corner of the stadium to get it, but it is totally worth it. And they bring it here every Tuesday and Wednesday night, and you can sample it yourself in the Pepsi Pavilion on Monday night. So here's the rundown for Monday night. Sonny's Real Pit Barbecue tailgate show starts at 5:30. Sutteth pregame show begins at 7:30, kickoff at 8:30. At the big halftime show, Marco and Cole. And then the Winn-Dixie postgame show and the Southern Ford Dealers scoreboard show. Folks, it's Monday night football. There are cities like Detroit that have not had it in 10 years and they got it back this year. You know, we get it twice this year. So I would tell you, if you've got tickets, please come. Give them to somebody who will use them. I understand it's a school night, and that's a challenge for some families. You know, my three boys aren't going to be here. They've got school the next day. But, you know, we give the tickets to folks who will use them. Do the same thing. And if you haven't been to a game this year and you're thinking about coming to a game, it'll be a beautiful fall night. You know, the Ravens are in town. Monday Night Football is here. In the end, what we're doing is supporting our community as well as the football team. And so I would encourage you all to take a look at it if you can be there. Be there. If not, join us on the radio. Again, kickoff at 8:30. Thanks to Joe Fortunato and everyone associated with putting this program on the air. Have a great night in Jacksonville. Tomorrow night, Jaguars this week. Tony Boselli, John Osher, Jeff Loggeman join me at 6:06. Good night.
This has been the Jack Del Rio Show. Join us again next Tuesday night at 6 for your chance to talk to the head coach. The Jack Del Rio Show is a presentation of the Jacksonville Jaguars Radio Network.